And that really is our first like relationship advice or rule that we live by is ask for what you want. Do not expect the other person to know what you want, guess what you want. Yeah, I already feel people like hitting share on this episode, like share this episode. Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
Welcome back to another awesome episode of That Fitness Couple, where we talk about lifting weights, eating meat. And today we are talking about being a fitness couple with some relationship advice that we live by. I know you're very excited about this episode.
I mean, I've been looking forward to this for Lord knows how long.
I think I should tell people how sarcastic that comment is.
Quite sarcastic.
Let's dive in here, though. We have gotten questions, which is why we are coming and doing this episode. I don't think that we could be that fitness couple without actually talking about being a couple in fitness, being a couple in work, working together, doing life together. And I think probably one of the most important places to start is communication.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't agree more. If we, when we are not in communication, where there's a breakdown there, it is pretty evident pretty quickly. And it's usually my fault.
It's always your fault.
Is it my lack of communication, my mystery around my communication?
Yeah, it might be both of those things. Above. Yeah, I would say so. Well, I want to start here, actually, a couple of topics on communication. But I think where things really started with communication is we have really good friends who have a really successful business. And it was her birthday. And social media blew up with him surprising her on the beach with a picnic. And this husband shows up with a picnic basket with like her favorite cheese, her favorite wine, flowers, a picnic blanket. And like most people on social media, I'm watching this and I'm like, how do you get that? Like literally, like how do you?
And I'm like, don't look at me.
Yes. Well, the irony was about 6 months later, we ended up coaching with that couple, which was an incredible experience. And I asked the question, I was like, can we just rewind back to this amazing surprise birthday picnic? Like, how did that all go down? Like, how did you get him to do that for you? How did he know to do that? And she was like, oh, I told him. And I was like, wait, what? You told him? She was like, yeah. He asked, what do you want for your birthday? And I said to him, I want a surprise birthday picnic on the beach. And these are the cheeses I want. I want a picnic basket. I want a blanket. I want wine. And I would like for you to bring me flowers. Now, I'm listening to this dumbfounded because that's not the type of house I grew up in.
No.
Like you don't
recall.
No, my dad would bring home flowers like once every 5 years. Sorry, Dad. And my mom would be like, yay, flowers. And she would be upset the other 4 years he didn't bring home flowers. But when he remembered, it was great. But that was the example. So, and she was literally like, I told him, I was like, what a novel idea. Like, why don't we actually just tell our partner what it is that we want?
And I'm like, I knew it. There is no man that's who's that good. No. There's no way. Now, I'm sure there are some guys out there who really are, and they are a special breed. They fall into that unicorn category.
Which you are not.
I am certainly not a unicorn, at least not in that respect.
In other
ways. But I'll be honest, it was actually kind of relieved. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Why can't all women do that? Just tell me what you want and I will do it for you. Or I will bring it to you. You want me to buy something? Tell me what it is that you want me to buy. I mean, I think this is what every man to a large degree is looking for.
Yeah, I already feel people like hitting share on this episode. Like share this episode. And that really is our first like relationship advice or rule that we live by is ask for what you want. Do not expect the other person to know what you want, guess what you want. We actually heard a really incredible quote this weekend that is, you know, unasked requests basically lead to resentment down the line. Like if you don't just ask for what you want, you are setting yourself up to resent your partner. And I mean, that's the last thing that you want in a relationship or a marriage. And so from that day forward, I mean, that was like almost a decade ago now, I ask for what I want. And Mike, why don't you tell people, what are some of the things that I ask for?
I mean, you ask me to whisper sweet nothings. You ask me to compliment you. You want to know that you are pretty and that you are loved.
You're making me sound so needy. Let's back up. I'm like, that sounds pathetic. No, like I will literally be having a really tough day and I'll look at him and he's like, what do you need? You know, like, what is it that I can do for you to help you through this tough
day? I'm hoping she's going to say bacon, grill up a steak. I mean, any of those things are usually great. It's when you ask me to do the mushy stuff. And I'm like,
ooh. I know. I'm like, I just need a hug. Like, I need you to hug me. You know the look now, I think, at this point. He's like, do you need a hug? I'm like, yeah, I just need a hug. But really, that's all I need. You're very lucky, by the way. You don't have to buy me things. You don't have to do, like, you just have to hug me.
Sometimes I'd rather buy you something.
Oh my God. All right, we're like just a few minutes in. We got to hold it together, Mike, for this, because people are going to need this advice. They've asked for this. We need to give this to them. Sometimes I will say, like, I need you to tell me something nice about myself. And he was like, you did an awesome job at sales today. And I'm like, sweet. Like, it's not needy, but no, you made this sound really pathetic.
Well, listen, I mean, you kind of set me up with the question.
I did. So. I shouldn't have asked. What I want you to do next is also tell people, see, that's exactly how you do it. Like, here's what I need you to do. Is that like comforting for a man to know? Like, here's my expectations. Here's what I want. Here's what I need.
Like I was saying before, most men are looking for that.
Yeah.
We not that we want to be bossed around and told what to do, but it's helpful to get a clue. You know, it's really helpful, ladies, to be given a clue as to what you're thinking, what you're looking for, because otherwise we are going down that endless road of guessing what it is that you're looking for. Yeah. And it's never right. So it really is beneficial just not just getting a clue, but getting the actual answer. And listen, there's a sense of relief that comes with that. It's like, okay, I could do that. And I think any man will say that if he's told what he needs to do, he can do that. Because we like doing a job the way a job is supposed to be done. And we know that the job is, give me a hug. I can hug you pretty well.
Yes, you give very good hugs.
I give very
Oftentimes,
good hugs.
They lead somewhere else for you. Well,
and that's because that's what I need. You want to go down this road of communication. As a man, I'm going to communicate to you, Corey Beth. What I need right now is I need some loving. I need some loving, and it ain't a hug. Or we have to hug quite closely.
So be careful what you ask for also, because it can lead, and often does. You know, we start hugging and I'm like, oh, shoot, this went too far. I just needed a quick hug.
He has other ideas right now.
Yes.
Well, no lie. I mean,
let's go there.
You knew what I needed, because I just, at this point, I
oh my gosh.
Here we go. I communicated with my eyes.
Yes.
I just look deeper into your eyes than...
We got off a meeting earlier today. Well, and again, like, you hadn't been feeling well the week before. The week before that, I wasn't feeling well. So it was 2 weeks, which is a very long time for us. And he just looked into my eyes. I was like, oh, shoot. I got phone calls to do. We got podcast episodes to prepare for. Like, I don't have time for this. But
But we made time for it.
Yes, we did.
And everything was right with the world.
Everything is right with the world.
I'll be honest. I don't think I could have done this podcast, this episode otherwise.
I would agree with that.
You would have asked me to, and like, we're not communicating clearly. Yes.
Well, and I think that leads to a really important piece, which is your love language. Like, we will often communicate in our own love language. So oftentimes at night, I'll be like, Mike, look at the stars. They're so nice, right? Because my love language is time together. Like, I like doing things with you. I want to go places with you. I want to go hiking. I want to just experience things with you or his.
I want to do things with you too, but it doesn't involve leaving the house.
I don't know if we could do this episode.
We're doing it.
Physical touch.
Yes.
Is your love language. Nice. Yes. So that's why sometimes I have to be careful with the hugs. And that's why sometimes I'm like, just tell me I'm awesome. And you're like, you are awesome. And then we can go on with our day.
You could go on with your day.
All right. Next thing I want to dive into is appreciation. And listen, you know, I think we would be remiss, like all the laughter and the joking and the sex aside, you know, sometimes we get annoyed with each other, as every couple does. No relationship is perfect. And in those moments where, you know, I've fallen short, you've fallen short, or whatever it is. And this is something that I'm not a relationship coach or a therapist, but when I'm working with women, I mean, this is something that comes up. Like if you're pissed at your husband, you're probably going to stress eat. If you're annoyed with family situation and you have lots of stress at home, like it's not going to bode well for your fitness and your health goals. You're not going to find time to go to the gym. So one of the pieces of relationship advice that I live by and coach on is even when you're pissed, find something that you can appreciate about your partner, you know, and one client in particular that I'm working with, she was just like, he is so handy. My husband, like he fixes things and he like always does things around the house. Like he actually saves us so much money. And I was like, that is really great and powerful. I think of another client, like her husband is super adventurous, you know, and she's like, you know what, even when he doesn't take out the garbage or do the things basically that I want him to do, he always has some adventure up his sleeve. And I really do appreciate that about him. And so I think that that's something that is really, really vital, especially when you're annoyed and pissed off. Because when you're annoyed and pissed off, all you're thinking about is all the things they did wrong. And then going back in the past of all the things that they did wrong in the past, and you allow that to snowball, and it just makes you an angry elf where honestly, like you can't communicate, you can't do the things you want to do. So just look for something to appreciate in the other person. I think that that is really, that's helped us through a lot of situations.
I always appreciate your body.
Oh my God, Mike. just take your topic. Your topic is sex. Tell us all about it, Mike.
No, I don't need to say anything else about it. I'm being dead serious right now.
Oh.
When you say something that you appreciate about the other person, when you're angry at me or like I'm upset with you, I could still look at you across the kitchen and be like, she does have a banging body though. And that usually for me
does it.
That's, I mean, I appreciate you as a wife, as a mother. I appreciate you as a business partner. You do kill it in sales. I appreciate all the wonderful things that you do for our family and keeping it together and keeping it adventurous. Please don't tear up right now.
God. But
I really appreciate your body in those moments where where I'm kind of angry at you. I'm like, yeah, she's mine.
I don't know how to follow that, but that was really sweet. And I will totally take it. Can we talk about that though? Like how important it is. Like so many people get into a relationship and they let themselves go.
Yeah, I think physical attraction for a lot of us is the thing that initially draws us to our partner.
Mm.
And I do think that it is, I don't want to use the word sin here, right? But I do think it's tragic in many ways that for a lot of couples, we all know that there's going to be a honeymoon phase and that it's going to fade. But I never bought into the belief that our bodies have to fade with it.
Mm.
And a lot of that does come down to our personal values. I mean, I think that regardless of maybe how you would have responded, I mean, in the sense that if you were the type of woman who said, oh, you know, I have a husband now or I have a boyfriend now, I'm going to kind of let things slide or it's okay if I start going back. I know that for me personally, my personal values is I would have never stopped doing what I'm doing just because it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah,
it has everything to do with me. I appreciate that you appreciate that I take care of myself or I might look a certain way. But
I do.
Thank you. But I think that it is important that if you are in that place where you've kind of let things go and you recognize it, well, listen, there's no better time than the present to start getting back to that because that physical attraction part is a real thing.
Right.
And of course, there's more to relationships than just physical attraction. And I could say that as much as I am physically attracted to you, it's so much more than that. And I think we both had this conversation even earlier where to me, you look better now than you did when we first started dating. So the physical attraction was there, but you look better now and you look better now because of who you are as a person, where our relationship has gone. And it's those things that increase that physical attraction. But I think it is up to each of us individually to recognize that, hey, you know what? I'm not just doing this for my partner. I'm doing it for me. And yeah. And when we had that conversation recently with Lori, that interview that recently dropped, she had even brought up the word confidence.
Yeah.
And how when we are walking in a body that we feel comfortable in, that we increase our confidence. And then that definitely shows through in your relationship. Some of the best relationships that I know of, people who we are friends with, who have great relationships, ironically enough, like they also happen to be people who work out, take care of themselves. Like they're doing more than just working at their relationship. They're working on themselves. And they're working on their bodies. And when they do that, it just somehow transfers over into their relationship.
I couldn't agree more. You know, and listen, what I will say, I'm just going to speak for you. Tell me if I'm wrong. But typically for men, it's you don't really care if she put on 5 pounds or 10 pounds. Like you still love her. But for her, that makes a huge difference in how she feels about herself, which in turn then makes a huge difference in how she behaves with you. Either from just an intimate level or just a day-to-day confidence level. I mean, I will tell you that walking into events pre-you with a partner, you know, and not feeling good about myself because that was basically my entire life. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like he's looking at her, like she's prettier. Like your confidence is so in the gutter that you just feel so bad about yourself. And then it creates this like spite and jealousy that really doesn't even need to be there. But it's all about how you feel about yourself. It doesn't really have much to do with the other person. Where like, I love walking into places. I'm not walking in like prideful, like look at me, but I walk in feeling good about myself, feeling good about how we feel in our relationship, you know, with one another. And honestly, like, yeah, the body that I walk in with, it's one that I'm proud of because—
That's why I make you walk in front of me.
That was to look at me.
No, I make you walk in front of me so that I can look at you. That's what I'm saying.
You're hilarious. Yeah, it does make a big difference. It makes a really big difference. And so listen, like I talk a lot on my Instagram about how I want to change what it means to look like a mom. Like I don't think being a mom means you have to look like a mom. Like you have to look like the 80s mom jeans or you have to gain all this weight.
Although that's in now. Somehow listen, that came back around.
But again, like we're wearing them differently. You know, it's different. I also want to change the way that we are in our relationships. I think one of my most exciting triumphs in working with clients is when they say things like, my husband said I looked great, or like, I felt so good. We went out to dinner, or we did this thing, or we're spending more time together. We connected on this level. I'm like, yes, because so much for a woman has to do with how she feels in her own skin. She can show up better in her relationship with her partner who's been there, you know, maybe to whatever capacity, depends on the person, but he's there. He's not upset you gained 3 pounds. He's not upset you gained 10 pounds. He still loves you.
No.
You mess that up in your own mind.
And if the, you know, 3 to 5 pounds is showing up in the backside or, you know, up top, then he's definitely happy. He's definitely not complaining at all.
Where would you like to go next? Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. So two other places I wanted to go, I think back to communication, is we actually took a course in how to communicate. In fact, I took the course and was like so mind blown by it. I was like, you need to listen to this CD set with me. And we did. This is now going back about 10 years. And
more than that, I think.
We think it was like 15.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It was mind.
It was very, blowing. Very early in our relationship. It was pre marriage.
Mm.
So it.
Should we also throw in here that we did not have a great relationship in the beginning?
Oh, it was volatile to say
it
the least.
Crazy.
I mean, talk about bringing your baggage into your next relationship. And
yeah.
Both of us came with a good amount of it. And
there's some luggage.
Oof.
Some hard luggage.
It was kind of brutal in the beginning.
It was. But what do we do about that?
Well, I think this is important to make mention. It's why did we stick it out through that?
Yeah.
For me, it comes down to values. And it was recognizing in you that there was a value match. I think that's the only reason why we are also able to work together is because there's a value match there. And that was one of the things that did initially attract me to you. It was first physical, she's gorgeous. And then it was second, oh my gosh, she has a brain too. And then third, it was like, this really is like the nicest person or human being I've ever met in my entire life. And no one like this is coming around after this one. So you better jump on this one, Mike, and don't screw it up. And yet, but both of us almost screwed it up.
Big time. Several times.
And it was, though, I think coming back to this understanding that there is something there, though. There is something there. There is something worth fighting for, trying to figure all this out. And we did. You know, it took a little while, but we did. If there were no value match and it was just
physical,
then we would definitely not be sitting here today.
Yeah.
What's, I think, kept things going is that maybe in some of the areas where there was, I'm going to say the same values, but not in the same order. I think some of those things have changed over the years where we have many values in the same order. And that is also why relationship has continued to improve.
I look at us walking through losing a daughter as one of those big pivotal reprioritizing of our priorities and our values. I mean, that to me, there were a couple of like big hits that we took together. And it's, we worked so well through those things together. You know, when I think back to, oh my gosh, we used to fight and scream and yell at each other. We have multiple friends that witnessed it. Our families witnessed it. Like there was some embarrassing stuff that went down between the two of us. It was so crazy. But again, it was all the baggage that we brought. So we did look for help, you know, in terms of like, we went to speak with a NLP coach. So it's neuro-linguistic programming. That was amazing. This CD coaching program that a friend had actually recommended to me was amazing for both of us. And we did that together. And I think really what I'm trying to say is like, yes, I agree. We had the value match and I saw something very different in you. Like I was definitely physically attracted to you. And I was very attracted actually to your discipline. I loved how you did things differently. You weren't just going to go like work for someone else and like, you know, take it from the man. Like you were going to figure it out. Like I have that, like, I'm going to figure this out. And I loved that so much in you as well. But we both showed up for ourselves and for one another. And then it was for us, you know, faith becoming a really important part of these really difficult things that we had to walk through and endure together. But we did it. And listen, there's going to be more to come. Like that's probably will pale in comparison to what's in the future for us and for our families. But we wanted to be a team. And I think we were a really great team. We complemented each other in that way.
I think one of the things that was so important and you mentioned it in terms of we sought out coaching and different programs. And I know that that's not always the case in every relationship where both partners are like, yeah, we have to do something about it. So if you're in one of those relationships, it's not that all is lost and salvageable. It's that maybe you do have to be the person to take that step and find the coaching, you know, if it's therapy, whatever it takes, right? You know, you start doing it and start doing your part. And then you pray and you also gently work with your partner to get them more involved in process. Because I know that it is rare sometimes to find two individuals who are both equally committed to personal growth. We see this in a lot of relationships, especially when we are coaching individuals. It's, well, I'm doing this, but my spouse isn't doing that, or they are not interested in this process. And sometimes that is really difficult and it will take a long time for them to come around. But I do have faith that in many situations, if your relationship was right, then that person will come around eventually. It's just, it may take an inordinate amount of effort on your part, changing yourself and doing things differently for it to be recognized by them that you're changing for the betterment of the relationship. And then maybe they should change as well.
I think it's standing your ground. You know, a lot of couples, they gain the honeymoon weight and everything else because, you know, well, he's eating donuts, so I'm going to eat donuts. Where if I brought donuts into the house, not that I did, but like you would hold your ground. Like, no, I don't really want that. And it was never in a judgmental way. It was just, I don't really want that. And there were different situations with food and alcohol for me that made me think twice. Like, huh, he's not having that. You know, like he's not breaking. He's not doing what I'm doing. Like he just, and again, never judgmentally, but you were who you were because I think that that's, I'm going to leave that thought there. I think that the other really important piece is you're not going to change anybody. And so many people want to come in and change who their person is. I mean, for me, I wanted you to have a stronger faith because I felt like I was developing one and maybe yours was not where I hoped it would be for you. And so I prayed for him. And I feel like that's probably a piece of relationship advice that we do live by. Like, we pray for each other. We lay in bed at night and we pray for each other. We pray for leadership abilities. We pray for provision. We pray for opportunity. But before all that, I mean, I prayed for you. And it wasn't like, okay, like he needs to go to church or he needs to, because again, that was like the original programmed thinking, like he needs to. And I don't remember who said it, but someone's like, just pray for your husband. Like, just pray for your spouse.
Probably your grandmother.
It might have been. Listen, she's an amazing person. But it was just pray for him. And I think even just the process of praying for someone softens your own heart towards them. And I prayed for you to find Christian men. And it's so insane that it was literally what, like within a year, you're like in a men's group and you're meeting with other men. It had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with what I found, I introduced you to, I decided, I wanted. It was just, I prayed for you to be in that type of community. And to absolutely no credit of my own, like, thank you, God, there you ended up and got some amazing friends, business partners, strategic partners. I mean, wow.
I think what's important here also, though, is that let's just say you're not a prayerful person, right? Faith is not a big...
Prayerful.
Let's just say you're not a prayerful person. In those instances, it's still a focus on working on yourself. Like working on you, because you cannot change this other person. You prayed that things would change, and they did. But even if they hadn't, would you have stopped working on yourself and
Absolutely
what you
not.
Felt like you needed? Exactly.
No.
And I think that's really what the whole conversation comes down to, is that when we're talking about couples, at the end of the day, we're talking about two individuals. And if each individual is always moving towards a higher standard, some are going to move faster, some are going to move slower than others, and that's okay. That's to be expected. I mean, if all of us were moving at the same speed, to be quite honest, there probably would not be enough friction in a relationship that would cause us to want to change, right? Because we would just be so content with where we're at that I think the friction, and I know we recently heard this as well, that friction is oftentimes what's necessary in order to push relationships forward. So it is the hard times, but it's also the watching your spouse still working on themselves and trying to better themselves, or recognizing that they are no longer responding to you the same way that they used to when in certain situations. And it gives pause and says, huh, like maybe it's time for me to also make some concessions and start working on making some changes.
No, I love that so much. Well, I think what we also heard was if you're both saying the same thing or you're agreeing in the same way, like one of you is unnecessary. Like differences are good. We have to be grateful for differences, but it's standing our ground in who we are, not in a prideful way, but just, you know, you were going to do bodybuilding shows, whether I did them with you or not. And I was like, that's pretty admirable. I think I'd like to do it with you. And we did. I want to give one other thing that I think is so important that we learned through one of our coaching programs that we walk through, and that is how to talk to one another. And I think this was really helpful and we actually shared this advice with multiple friends and couples in businesses, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is mind-blowing. So hopefully you'll feel the same way. But when you get home or you are in the middle of finishing a task, what is the one thing I will never do?
Get in my way.
I was going to say interrupt.
Okay.
I'm always in your way. Yeah. But I want to interrupt that process. And I think that that is something so valuable because a female brain, this is totally a generalization, but a female brain is able to process 90 million tasks at once. Whereas how many can you process at once?
One
thing at a time. And when a friend actually introduced me to a specific coaching program, it was for raising boys, because she was like, oh, you're going to have a son. You grew up with a sister and you're close with your mom and your grandma. Like, this is going to be different. And basically, it started to lay things out that we began to adapt ourselves, where you have to understand that if a male brain can only focus on one thing at a time, which is the point, you don't want to keep interrupting that process. And I think the funniest is it's funny, but it's not. We coached with friends, we helped them in their marriage and their relationship. And he was like, yeah, I sometimes go in the garage and I start doing work and she keeps opening the garage door. What do you want for dinner? The kids just got home. What do you think's going on tomorrow? Hey, did you check your calendar? Hey, somebody called. Oh, I was just thinking about your mom. And he's literally like pulling his hair out in the garage because he just wants to finish the one single task. And he keeps being interrupted and it takes a period of time to get refocused. And so our advice to them was don't interrupt. And so when you get home, I say it to the boys all the time. I'm like, let dad settle. Like, just let your husband come in and let him do his thing. And if you watch body language close enough, you will see like he settles and his shoulders come down. And that's when I'm like, so how was your day? What's going on? Think about dinner? You hungry? You know, like, and then we begin the conversation. But it's, I've witnessed it so many times with friends, family. It's the bombardment and the interruption of just like female word vomit that's going on in our brain all the time. We'll be in the car driving and I'll go to say something. And then I quickly filter. I'm like, is this even important right now? And he'll hear me. Like my mouth makes the noise when like you open your mouth to say something. I'm like, and then he turns and he's like, what? I'm like, not important. Like, it's just not important to even share these random word vomit thoughts that come up in a female brain.
And what I've come to recognize is that female word vomit is actually very important. And it's important for them to let all of this information out. And so for my part, it is when I recognize that one of those moments is happening. Corey Beth has patiently allowed me to finish my task. Then it is my turn to reciprocate. And the reciprocation usually looks something like this. So babe, what's on your mind? And
that
it is
gold.
Time,
and it is gold, by the way.
And it is time for Corey Beth to empty her cup.
Yes.
And I think as a man, it's important to recognize what you're walking into in this moment. You are not there to solve anything. You are not to do anything.
No advice.
You are to stand there. And I mean, just like you were focused on one job for the past hour. Hopefully this is not going to be an hour of your time. If it's done efficiently, might be like 10, 15 minutes, but you're going to focus on the new task, which is just allowing her to empty her cup. And usually the way that this transpires is she starts on the first topic of the 99 that are bouncing around in her mind that she's been waiting patiently to speak on. And once we've entered the place where she kind of is done with that topic, the most important question that you could ever ask comes next.
Take notes.
Ready? So what else? So what else? I mean, three words with a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
That will bring you to places you never imagined. Because the next one, two, three topics are going to start being spilled out.
And they have nothing to do with one another.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
And once it's like the grocery checklist. It's like once you start going down that list, boom, topic out of the mouth, boom, topic off the brain, you know, boom, put it out into the world. It's hit your ears and you just keep asking that question.
Anything else?
Until the cup is empty.
And it does empty. It gets to a point where it's empty. And as the woman, you're like, wow, he is such a great listener. And the best part for you is there's absolutely nothing you have to do. You take your full cup now and you dump it out and you leave it and walk away. You don't have to solve any problems. You don't have to correct anything. You don't have to fix anything because that is the male tendency. Like you want to fix things, you want to correct things, but sometimes we just need to let it out. And it's literally like the pressure valve. It is such a beautiful activity and we probably do it several times a week. Mm-hmm. You know, anything else? Anything else? Is there anything else? Is there anything else? And then eventually I'm like, yeah, I'm good now. And that's it.
And I'm like, so can I go put on a lacrosse game right now?
Yes.
And honestly, that is almost as if it's the gate when you're waiting to enter a place and you're sitting in front of the gate. And you're like, when's this gate gonna open?
But you know what? Here's what I'll say. In that moment, and listen, this may be different for you listening. I don't mind cleaning up the kitchen because I feel like what I needed to unload and unleash is done and gone. The pressure has literally been taken off of me. I was able to share without gossiping or like calling a friend and getting feedback and sucked into like, you know, a 2-hour long conversation. It's like I emptied my cup and now I can go on and I have zero spite about you watching a lacrosse game. And I'll even say to him some nights, I'm like, you know, go finish up whatever work you have inside, or like go take the boys, go watch the game. Like, that's awesome. I don't mind cleaning up the kitchen. Or back to the first point of ask for what you want. If you don't want to clean up the kitchen, I've said to him, I'm like, listen, I'm done. Like, I don't really have any more energy. He's like, I got it. You know, and I think that's where you're the team. That's where you have those shared values. Or I'm like, hey, Mike, like, do you mind if we do this together tonight? He's like, of course, no problem. And then we go on our merry ways. But I just want to go back briefly to the allowing you to settle, because I don't want women to think like, so I just like wait around until like he settles. You can say something like, hey, when you're done with that, I want to talk to you. And I use that. Actually, it's funny. Our kids use that, which I think is hilarious. Mom, when you're done with that call or when you're done with that email, like, I need to talk to you. But I even think that that's such a great life skill for people that they can use in their jobs also. You're not always interrupting people's thoughts with things. Or even when I call people, I'm like, hey, is now a good time? Like, do you have 5 minutes right now? It phrases and sets the frame up for a successful communication without barging into someone else's thought process. But the emptying the cup has been absolutely positively life-changing. And I appreciate so much that you allow me to empty my cup until it is empty.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, with that, I think we'll wrap it here. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to hit in on? Like, I feel like this was some great practical advice. We live by this every day.
I mean, this is it. This is what makes it work.
Yeah. Well, people will ask, how do you guys work together? This is how. We ask for what we want. We communicate. We have lots of sex.
Mike gets what he wants.
I get what I want.
And then we could work.
And the world goes round. It's so good. Well, thanks guys so much for being here. We want you to head on down, check out the show notes. We got some cool gifts for you there. We do have a fitness personality quiz. You can head on down and take that. We also have a free 5-day challenge. It's just an opportunity for you to sample out some of our workouts, some of our philosophy on nutrition. I think that that's the biggest struggle a lot of people have. We'd love to have you in that. Give it a shot. And if there's any way that we can support you, don't hesitate to reach out. Have an awesome day, and we'll catch you next time. Click the link in our show notes to discover your fitness personality type today. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com